This is Sam Darmacena, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The Soul Food Project recently launched a community cookbook highlighting the voices of Black youth in Toronto. The cookbook is about 100 pages long and was uploaded in December and is free to view online right now. It includes a collection of recipes, poems, interviews, and much more, all by Black youth in the city. I spoke with Sheldamar Elliott, one of the Soul Food Project organizers and a recent Ryerson grad. We talked about how the project came together, discussed food through a political lens, and much more.
It was really a way for us to kind of amplify Black youth stories around food and what brings us comfort during these times amidst the pandemic, and especially during the summertime with the climate around Black Lives Matter. So it's really an exercise of community care, and we just wanted to kind of engage our community and see what we, you know, what would come about if we were to create a community cookbook.
As you read through, you'll notice that most recipes are organized with an ingredients list, info on servings, and step-by-step instructions. But there are other formats also, like a Q&A with a relative. No matter what the delivery method is, there is often a backstory involved, where the contributor shares their connection to the dish and the memories that come with it.
We just thought those tender and really special moments need to be heard more, because there's just a lot of misconception around, I think just food in general is just, it's underlooked in a way, you know, and everybody eats food, everybody enjoys food. And we really wanted to center that and center how community was feeling during this time and just kind of tie food into it.
Sheldamar tells me that he wasn't familiar with community cookbooks until recently when fellow organizer Jade came to him with the idea. And if this is a new term for you also, a community cookbook is a collection of recipes from a local group. So while the cookbooks at your local Indigo or any kind of bookstore are probably written by professional chefs, community cookbooks are created through submissions from people that are around you. In this particular cookbook, you'll learn how to make dishes like split pea chicken soup, jerk chicken fried rice, banana fritters, and lots more.
And it was really Jade who came up with the idea, and I think she's come across some during her time. And it was really funny that as soon as she pitched the idea to me, before it really started, I was on Instagram one day and I came across another community cookbook for BIPOC youth in the city of London, England. And that to me was like very interesting and kind of was like almost validating for what we were trying to do, because it just showed that like there's just so much power in storytelling and amplifying the voices of youth. Racialized youth specifically. So yeah, prior to it, I didn't know too much about community cookbooks, although I am very involved in food justice, but I'm really happy to have just jumped into it and have been a part of it.
Community cookbooks can often feel like time capsules. And as you go through this one, it definitely feels like an archive of sorts, seeing as it was created in the midst of the pandemic.
It's really beautiful too, because halfway through, we realized that we didn't want it to just be recipes. So we started reaching out and with our call outs, mentioning that we would love to have folks submit poems or photo essays or just anything regarding food. And it was really beautiful to get some submissions of just like poems of like folks growing up with their grandmothers in the kitchen, just cooking like their favorite dish, or having, you know, eating a certain dish and just remembering times with their mother.
There's an excerpt from the cookbook that reads, "Food can warm us, it can be comforting, it can remind us of home, of family, our roots, it can bring people together as a meeting point. Our relationships with food can also be fraught. Food is political, it is also a means of survival. Every recipe tells a story." Sheldamar and I talk a little bit about that relationship and how they didn't set out to create a politicized cookbook, but it organically went in that direction.
Like with engaging with folks who are interested in submitting, it's not like we explicitly said, yeah, be political or like say what you like, say these things, but it just came out, you know? And I think it's just, again, very telling as to when you amplify the voice of Black youth, like the truth will just come out, you know, and politics is just there. You can't run away from it. And I think that's something that folks tend to, again, overlook, is how can like race, politics, all of it is connected, but with food specifically.
Once the ball was rolling with their cookbook, the Soul Food Project received funding through the Confronting Anti-Black Racism Unit at the City of Toronto. The funding allowed them to commission artwork, and Scheldemar tells me that collaborating with the unit helped nurture some of the politicized directions that the cookbook was going in.
Hence the little vignettes that we had with certain folks, like the interviews that we sat down with folks like Hansel and Abana and Milana, just to kind of get their understanding as to like where they're, like how they're engaged in the food system and how anti-Black racism manifests in it. Because again, not to get too deep into the history of the current food system in Canada, but it is founded on, you know, anti-Black racism, patriarchy, settler colonialism, just all of those systems of oppression that work in conjunction to continually, you know, keep this system going.
For example, on page 28, you'll find a piece titled Black Food Isn't Bad for You, where they speak with registered dietitian Rosie Mensa and discuss the need for cultural food to be reflected in our dietary guides and practices. On page 54, there's an interview with Elizabeth Medeño, who organizes with migrant workers in Canada. In this piece, they bring attention to labor practices in the food system and migrant workers currently calling for the opportunity to apply for permanent residency.
At this current moment, we're really looking forward to some of the printed copies that we will be distributing. At this point, we weren't able to secure enough funding to like print out a bunch of copies for folks. So physical copies will be shared with folks who contributed to the project, so interviewers or recipes, etc. However, we do hope to either secure funding so that we can share it widely or maybe share it with a few bookstores in the city, so like a different book list or Toronto Reference Library, etc. But, you know, I think this is just the beginning of the Soul Food Project. I don't know what we have in store next, but I'm sure it'll be something beautiful and creative and, you know, just still under the guise of food because that's just where we're at. But always just centering and amplifying the voices of community.
Follow Soul Food Project TO on Instagram to stay updated on their work and visit the link in their bio to access the cookbook and hear directly from community members. And if you aren't sure where to start, Scheldemar has a recipe recommendation for you.
I have to say I am vegan, so a lot of those recipes, unfortunately, like I can't make, or if I do make, I'll just have to like change out some ingredients. But the Missir recipe from Eden Hagos looks very delicious. I have not had the chance to make it yet, but I'm so, so excited to make it because I follow her on Instagram. It looks beautiful whenever she shows it off. The Missir, and it's vegan, so I just have to shout that out. Missir, Eden Hagos, looks delicious. Lentils, can't go wrong.
This is Sam Darmacena, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.